Good morning to you all. Greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a blessing to be here. I have been very much encouraged already with the songs and everything that's been shared. I'm going to write the title up here on the board. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I'd like to turn to the book of Jude this morning and open with the scriptures found there in Jude verses 20 and 21. And before we read that, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to meet together and worship you and to learn of your word. Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you, Father, for what you have taught us this morning about repentance and asking you. And Father, we thank you that you care for us and you love us and you provide all that we need, Father, to serve you. You have provided a great salvation for us. You have redeemed us to yourself, and you want to work your will out in our lives. And Father, as we're here today, we just pray that you would teach us how to keep ourselves in your love, and how to walk in your ways, and how to be obedient to you, Father. Just pray that you would help me, Lord, as I share your word here, Father, that we'd be able to communicate what you've the burden you've put on my heart, and that we might all be edified, Father. We thank you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jude, verse 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? As Jude says here in verse 21. I would like to talk about that here this morning. This word keep in this passage comes from the Greek word tereo, which means to attend to carefully, to take care of, and it also means to guard. And I'll bring some examples out to help us understand this word. A couple passages where this word is used in the scriptures. A very familiar one, in Matthew 28:20, Jesus' command to go into all the world to share the gospel. And in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe, that's tereo, to observe or to guard all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Another passage in Ephesians 4:3, very familiar passage as well, endeavoring to keep, that's tereo, keep, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It is to attend to carefully and to take care of or to guard, to keep. And there's several more. I'm going to turn to Matthew 27 and read a passage there where it brings out the idea of guard. In Matthew 27, verse 36. This is the crucifixion of Jesus. And in verse 36, When they had crucified him, it says, and sitting down, they watched him there. That word watched is tereo. They guarded him. They kept him carefully. They sat there and watched him. They kept guard. And also in verse 54 of the same chapter, and when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, tereo, they were guarding him, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Matthew 28:4 also, this was at the tomb where Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb early, the first day of the week in the morning, and the angel came there, and verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And in verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake as became as dead men. Keepers is also tereo. They were the guards there guarding the tomb. So this word tereo, keep, it also means to guard, to watch over, and to not let get away. There's one more passage, I'll bring it out as well. That's found in Acts 12. And this is where Peter was in prison, verse 5. It says, Peter therefore was kept, that's tereo, in prison. He was guarded there. He was kept very carefully so he wouldn't escape. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And also in verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers, tereo, before the door, kept the prison. And so we see this word, keeping ourselves in the love of God. It is guarding ourselves. It is guarding, taking very careful attendance to and taking care of. Now, as we go through this journey of life, how do we keep or guard ourselves in the love of God? I'd like to give a parable this morning, a lesson that we can all connect with. As we drive along this highway of life, how do we stay in the lines? How do we stay in our lanes? God has set up some guardrails for us. He has given us directions, and Jude explains how we are to keep or guard ourselves in God's love. So here in verse 20 of Jude, he says, but ye beloved, all right, but ye, but you, what is he referring to? But if we back up to verse 17, again he says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And then he says, but you, beloved, but you, beloved, are going to do something different. You are not going to be like these that the apostles were talking about. You must be building yourselves up in your most holy faith. You know, maybe we would have expected Jude to say that we should build up each other in the faith. And there are scriptures that would say we need to do that. But right here, Jude wants us to make an evaluation in our own lives, each one of us in our very own lives, like we heard this morning, Brother Jeremy shared with us. Each one of us must stand before God and give an account of our own lives. And so Jude is here advocating that each of us need to evaluate our own life and build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Are we making an effort to build our lives deeper and stronger in the faith? We know the familiar passage in Luke 6 about the builder that built his house on the rock and also the one that built it on the sand. I'm going to turn there to Luke 6 and we'll read a couple verses there. Luke 6, verse 46. I think we all know that passage very well. Jesus says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And I think we all know we have some house builders in the room here. We all know that if we don't dig deep and put some solid footing there, it's not going to stand. And so we see very clearly here that Jesus is saying that those who come to him, hear his sayings or his teachings and do them, are like the man that digs deep and puts a footing under his house. And his house will stand when the storms of life come. But those who hear his sayings and obey them not are like just putting their house on top of the earth or on the sand, and the storms of life will ruin it. It will fall, and the ruin of that house was great. So knowing God's word and obeying it is very necessary. Knowing God's word and obeying it is very necessary. In John 15:10, if ye keep, there's that same word tereo again, keep or guard my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept, tereo, my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Now here we see a key already. It's starting to come together here. Keeping his commandments and obeying him and abiding in his love. So we are trying to answer the question, how do we keep or guard ourselves in the love of God? This is starting to make some sense. So by obeying, hearing his word and obeying his word, we are abiding in his love. And we are building on the solid rock. We are building up ourselves on our most holy faith. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's in Acts 20, verse 32. So his word is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among all them who are sanctified. And another scripture is found in Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So it gives this picture of being rooted deep, being dig deep and put a solid footing in for a huge structure or a house, and also being rooted and grounded so that when the storms of life come, we will stand strong. There's another example in Psalms 1 I would like to read. Familiar passage. In Psalms 1, talks about the godly. I'm just going to read, there's a couple verses here. Verse 1 of Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night." He is listening to the Lord's word. He is meditating in it. If he's meditating on it, he is obeying it. And verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So here we have a picture of a big tree that's planted by the rivers of water, the roots going deep, growing big and tall, strong, and bringing forth fruit, maturity. "His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." We see building up and coming to maturity. "But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And we will see more of that as we go through here this morning about the ungodly not standing and perishing. So this is one guardrail that God has given us as we drive on this highway of life. There is another one. Second, Jude says that we keep ourselves in the love of God by praying in the Holy Ghost. We find that here in the second half of verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, what does praying in the Holy Ghost look like? Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Our prayers need to be according to the will of God. James says in chapter 4, verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Our prayers need to be according to the will of God. They need to be in the Spirit. They need to line up with the will of God, what God's will is. Psalms 66, verse 18, we read these words, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." So if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. 1 John 3, verse 22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And so here again, we are keeping his commandments. We are knowing what the will of God is and obeying and asking and receiving and doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. We are building up ourselves on our most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. Our prayers need to be spiritually focused. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Ghost for your faith and strength. You see how these two go together. These are two guardrails that the Lord has given to us so that we can stay in the love of God, so that we can keep in our lane, so we can keep in the lines. There's a third guardrail found in verse 21. "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We need to keep our eyes on where we are going. Amen. We keep ourselves in the love of God by keeping our eyes on where we are going and what we are waiting for. You cannot stay on the road if you are not looking at the road. It is dangerous to be near drivers who are looking on their phones rather than watching the road, because they weave everywhere and they cause accidents. So we need to look where we are going. This word looking for, it comes from the Greek word, I'm not sure if I can pronounce this word, it's a long word, it's prostemeo, something like that. And what it means is to wait actively and expectantly. So it means to wait on something that we are expecting actively. And so looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, it's something that we are waiting expectantly for. There's an example of that word in Luke 2, verse 25. We all know that passage. It's where Simeon was waiting for the Savior, Jesus. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting, there's that word, for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He knew that this Jesus was to be the Savior, and he was waiting for the salvation of the Lord to come. He was expecting it. And then also in Titus 2, verse 13, looking for, that same word again, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And another example is Paul and his words in 2 Timothy 4, where he says these words, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now here is that word, tareo, again. Paul is using this in here. I have kept the faith. I have guarded the faith. Kept it very carefully. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing," or look for his appearing. Are we expectantly waiting for and loving his appearing? Keeping or guarding ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So as we travel on this highway of life, we have directions and guardrails. So we have building up yourselves and on your most holy faith. We have a guardrail. We have praying in the Holy Ghost. We have waiting or looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, keeping our eyes on the road so we are able to stay in our lane. Now I'd like to look at the warnings that Jude gives in this passage and why we need to keep or guard ourselves in the love of God and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Now if we back up here in verse 1, and also he uses this word tareo a few more times in the book of Jude here, and I'd like to point those out. And if we back up to verse 1, Jude gives the introduction there of his book here. And there he says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved," there's that word tareo again, guarded or kept, "in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." And so Jude is writing this to the believers. He's writing this letter to the believers, those that are sanctified by God the Father and kept or guarded in Jesus Christ. And then he calls us beloved in verse 3. He says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so he had a desire to write of the common salvation, but he thought it was needful that he would write and exhort us to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then he gives the reason why. Why do we need to earnestly contend for the faith and keep ourselves in the love of God? Verse 4, he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gives three examples here. He says in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And I believe we're familiar with that as well. So the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Afterward, he destroyed those that believed not. And Jude is bringing that out as an example here. And so these that believed not, the Lord destroyed. They had a bad accident on the highway. They went through the guardrail, and the Lord destroyed them. Then he gives another example in verse 6. He says, and the angels which kept not, now that is again that word tereo, which means to guard or keep very closely, they kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved, there's the word tereo again, in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. And so here, he's referring to the angels that left their first estate. They did not guard that carefully or keep that and left their own habitation. And now it says that God hath reserved, or tereo, he has guarded them in everlasting chains. Think about that for a minute. He has guarded, they are guarded or being watched with a guard in everlasting chains. There is no getting away from that. That is eternal. Under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So just as we need to guard or keep very carefully in the love of God, these are being guarded in darkness and everlasting chains. No chance of repentance. But everlasting punishment. That's a great tragedy. And then he gives another example in verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here again, we all know the story of that, how the Lord sent the angel to take Lot out of the city, and then he burned the city. And it says here that they are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And there again, bad outcome, tragedy, bad accident. These three examples Jude is giving here to point out these certain men crept in unawares that he's talking about in verse 4. And then he jumps back to them in verse 8 and says, likewise, as these three examples I've given you, likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And then he gives another example. He says in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, we don't read this account in the scriptures anywhere. Obviously, Jude read this in the book of Enoch, I believe is where this is found, which is not part of our Bible. But the point is, Michael the archangel, he did not rail an accusation against the devil, but rather he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And so there is a respect or dignity that we have to, that we can't despise. He talks about despising dominion or speaking evil of dignities. And these don't, they despise dominions and powers and speak evil of dignities. And then he gives this example of Michael. Michael being one of the highest angels, or possibly the highest, the archangel, but he did not dare give a railing accusation to the devil, but he said, "The Lord will rebuke thee." And so he's bringing this example out to respect authorities and dominions. But yet these are not doing that. They despise dominions. And then he goes on in verse 10, and he keeps talking about these certain men. And he says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Now that sounds like an accident to me. Ran greedily after the error of Balaam, going in the way of Cain, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These went through the guardrails. They went off the road, and they perished. And he says in verse 12 that these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now that sounds exactly opposite of the tree that we read about in Psalms 1. This is the ungodly. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. It doesn't sound like rooted and round, rooted and grounded in the love of God. It's a tragedy. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, of whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. There again, that word reserved is this word tereo, which means guarded or closely kept. That is their end. They are guarded in the blackness of darkness forever. That sounds like a bad accident. Bad accident. Fatality. A tragic. And then he talks about Enoch again. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." He is giving this as a warning why that we need to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, and to keep ourselves or guard ourselves in the love of God as we drive along this highway of life, to guard, stay in these guardrails that the Lord has given us, and to keep ourselves in the love of God. And you know, it seems here that he is teaching us that some of these could be among us. He's talking about they are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, and God forbid that those would be among us here. But you know, the day might be coming when those would be among us, and maybe they are here, I don't know. But he is warning us. That is why we need to earnestly contend for the faith and why we need to guard and keep ourselves in the love of God so that we don't end up running through the guardrail and having a bad accident like these that we just read about. We're talking about everlasting choices, everlasting eternal judgment and darkness. There's one more very important point here that I would like to bring out in verse 22 and 23. It says, "And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Here we have evangelism. As we are going through this highway of life, and we are staying in the guardrails that God has given us, we are hearing His word and obeying His word, building up ourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keeping our eyes on Jesus and His coming. We are also helping those around us that we see have needs. As we are driving along, we meet people all the time that might be involved in bad accidents along the way. They might have crashed through the guardrail. They made bad choices in life. Are we going to help them? It says that on some have compassion and make a difference in their lives, and others we save with fear, pulling them out of the fire and hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Maybe pulling some out of the fire, maybe they're at the edge of eternal fire, hell, and we can rescue them and make a difference on their eternal destiny. I believe that's very important. After all, if we're driving on this highway of life and the Lord has shown us what is right, why wouldn't we share that with those around us that have made bad choices and maybe don't know the right way? Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We can hate their sin that they are involved in, but can we still look past that and have compassion on them and pull them out of the fire? I believe that is very important as we go through this travel on this highway of life, that we can rescue those around us that have crashed through the guardrail, have made bad choices in life, and are in a bad place, in a bad situation. I would encourage us to do that. And you know, as we keep driving on this highway of life, somewhere will be our end, right? Sometime we will approach our exit where we will get off. And as we do that, as we approach our exit, can we say with Paul, "For now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have guarded the faith. I have stayed in these guardrails. I have built up myself on the most holy faith and prayed in the Holy Ghost and kept my eyes on Jesus and His coming. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Can we say that with Paul as we approach the end of our highway? Verse 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling," Jesus, He is able to keep us from falling. He is able to keep us from crashing through the guardrail and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The Greek word present is histemi, which means to stand or cause someone to stand. God will cause us to stand before his glory. And this verb is not passive, but it is active. God actively prepares us to stand in his holy presence. As Jesus keeps us from falling, he keeps us from crashing through the guardrail. Do we make mistakes? Yes, we make mistakes. We might scrape the guardrail a little bit here and there. But Jesus, if we keep our eyes on him and his mercy unto eternal life, he will keep us from crashing. And he is able to present us faultless. He is able to cause us to stand. He is actively preparing us to stand in his holy presence with exceeding joy. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And he does it with exceeding joy. Are we perfect? No, I know I'm not. But he is preparing me to stand before his presence in glory with exceeding joy. And I believe as we come to the end of our road, and as we get off at our exit, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. As we come there, Jesus is there to present us to the Father. Father, here is one that I died for. Here is one that believed in me and he repented. And I present him before this glory with exceeding joy. And I believe there will be great tears of joy in his eyes. Here's an encouraging verse. 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We may have confidence if we abide in him, that when he appears, we are looking for him. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He is able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And I'm going to close with this verse here. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God bless you all.